Hello there, welcome to the Ash Frith Mega Laugh Show with me, Ash Frith. Today's guest is comedian, writer, actor, activist, Justin Panks. Justin,
It's all about the lols.
All about the lols, and we are lolling around like a lolster.
Like a lol.
A professional lolster, Justin Panks.
Lol gagger.
Yeah, that is the name almost of an Edinburgh show.
Put in the music.
Speaking of lollygagger, I have been asked to do some 45-minute clean shows.
You've been booked to do some 45-minute clean shows.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to do my Edinburgh show, but write it clean.
Okie dokie.
So how, Justin, do you do that?
You get in a time machine.
Yep.
You go back to the day before whatever awful event happened to you when you was a child that made you the dark and twisted man you are today.
Yeah.
And you warn yourself. You say, don't go down to the woods today. You are in for a big surprise. Just don't do it. And then you'll be a clean, well-adjusted, family-friendly comedian like me.
It needs to be family friendly. That's the scary thing. I'm going to be doing 45 minutes of clean material. I reckon I can do it. I can pull the bones of a 45 minute clean show out of the body of the filthy Edinburgh show.
Yes.
But that does include removing a section about a spunk fountain.
What's wrong with a spunk fountain? Just change it to snot.
It wouldn't work because it would be coming from... Oh, that's my girl's vagina. Friend. My partner's vagina. You kind of
never. I like how you've changed from a girl to your partner. I'm not sure if that's better or worse, Ash.
No, I just wanted to make sure it was clear that I'm not just talking about fannies spurting spunk.
I'm talking
about my particular love interest spurting spunk.
Because it's funny, because it's true.
And I don't use the word spunk either.
Or fanny, I hope.
No.
I hate infantized words for like sexual organs. It makes me feel very unnerved.
Oh, yeah, but you can't use adult words either, can you? Not in an actual environment. Like, you couldn't say...
The C word.
Look at my dick. Like, imagine if you said that to your partner.
Well, it's better than saying, like, dinkle or something.
Look at my rock-hard winkle.
I'm going to thumb my semi-erect... Winkus in your minky. How about that?
I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that. But then you know what? You shouldn't be allowed to talk during any kind of sexual activity. That's my view. Nothing good's ever come from bedroom conversation, has it?
Yeah. A lot of good has come from bedroom conversation.
That's it?
Or little baby.
Well, yeah. Do that. Dump that muck in my... goblet of juice fire.
It's very I think your new sort of direction into family friendly is going well so far. I mean, you hit the ground running. Start as you mean to go on, Ash.
Why don't you stick your rock hard winky into my
fifi foo-foo,
into my wet sopping wet fifi?
This is I don't know about this.
Is this too much?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do it for the clean set.
Yeah, you are. You just changed. You just say, instead of saying you Minge was like a spunk fountain or whatever, just say her fifi was like a daddy did a number three in a fifi,
Yeah.
And she laughed, and the white worms erupted like a Mount Vesuvius.
Kilimanjaro.
Mount Vesuvius.
Oh, there you go.
See, that's why I get the big bucks.
Clean. You could do that at kids' shows.
You could. Just because kids wouldn't know what you were talking about.
No.
Do you remember? Let's relive the famous anecdote, which has, we have told it many times, the festival, the tent, on stage doing probably the bluest piece of material I've ever had, which I don't do anymore.
You were talking about spraying your mink monk out of your dink donk.
I was minky monkeying my dinkle donkle into a woman's eyeball. My partner's. Yeah. And a toddler just strolled in front of me and I stopped.
Oh, what? No, whoa. No. That's not true. You were doing a routine about that happening. You weren't doing it.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. I was talking about it. I thought people would take that for granted. It wasn't a live sex show.
You're on the stage doing a routine about spaffing your bath in someone's boat.
And
a toddler strolled in.
And I just stopped mid-sentence and just looked at this toddler. And then I just said, what did I say?
You went, for fuck's sake.
I just went, oh, fucking hell. It was one of those moments where I had an out-of-body experience and I was watching myself from the back of the room.
And then the owner of the baby came in and went, this is disgusting.
No, that wasn't. That was just a busy woman that was nothing to do with her.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't.
And you engaged with her. I wouldn't have engaged with her.
I told her it was her fault. I said, you need to look after your own kid. Pay attention.
No, a woman turned to you and said, this is wrong. And you went, they're not my children. It says adults only. I was paid. This is the thing. I was contractual. There was no contract. I'm verbally contractually obliged to turn up.
Contract / paper trail.
No, but I was told. I was booked, let's just say it that way, to turn up, do an 18 and over festival comedy tent. That didn't have a door on it or no one on the door. And people and children were just coming in because one of their parents were getting off their face watching the red knot chili peppers or the orb, whoever it was, Osric tentacles. And it's not my fucking fault.
I'm on your side, mate. You don't need to explain.
But I remember I was walking out behind that woman
who
complained and she didn't know I was behind her. And her daughter and her son-in-law, I guess. I mean, I don't know if they were married, Ash, but I'm quite old-fashioned. I like to think they were, if they're having sexual relations. And she was going, no, that's not how it works. He was going, oh, I thought it was quite funny. Not just me, I think the whole show. She was going, no, but that's not how it works. They should tailor their act to the audience. And I was thinking, I felt like going, no, you don't know how it works. I'm a lazy hack. I've got 20 minutes and that's it. And I'm trotting it out, whoever's in front of me.
Yeah, and I'm still the same now.
Yeah, same. But I don't do that bit anymore, though.
No, you've grown out of that bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've grown it. I think I've been forced to drop it because
of the reaction of the audience.
Well, saying that, Ash, let's talk about Saturday. Hatin' Live was wheeled out in one of the top new London comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Show started at midnight. More or less sold out. And it was fucking great. And there were some very unsavoury things said. Like,
was there really?
Oh, deliberately so. But that's what it is. And do you know what? There is a huge appetite for it.
What was said? Give me a flavour.
Well, I had to defend Hitler, which I did with aplomb.
Oh, that's easy. Well, isn't it, to defend Hitler?
Exactly. And like I said, like it's supposed to be improvised, but obviously I've had a lifetime of thoughts. No, I haven't. But but yeah, that there was all the things that you say you can't joke about.
So give us a brief rundown. How did you defend Hitler in a comical way?
Well, no, the twist is I had to say why I hated Hitler. Well, obviously that would just be, that's too on the nose.
Yeah, you don't. Because if you're doing that, then that's easy. Yeah. You just say he was a vile. So you have to kind of weirdly defend him.
All the things I said about, I hated about him was like a twisted, come at it from the other angle.
Yeah.
So the things I hated were the fact that he gave up, basically, at the end.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, he didn't see it through. You know, as if you're going to start something, you should see it through. And but it was a bit longer than that. But it got huge laughs because everyone knows I did. This is the thing about Hatin' Live. And for those that don't know, audience write down topics. We pull them out and have to say why we hate them. And it can be Hitler.
Do you get any time?
No, not anymore. We don't do that anymore. It's just quick fire. But the thing is, if I got up there and started defending Hitler in my act, which is a pre-written act, you start thinking, why is he choosing to defend? But
Yeah.
The joke is they know I don't mean it because I'm talking about things I don't necessarily want to talk about.
And it's about, well, the humour comes from you handling a very difficult thing.
Exactly.
In a different
but what
way.
I'm saying is there are buzzwords of topics that you can't joke about. But if someone puts it in the bucket, that is seeing people joke about it's pure fiction. Because like when someone does an act, you sort of think, oh, is he a rape apologist? Or does he think it's funny that, do you know what I mean? But when something comes out of a bucket and it's forced upon you, so it's not like, why would you choose to joke about that? So I think that is the reason it works. If you just got up there and said, oh, my name's Ash Frith and I'm going to talk about, you know, whatever.
Hitler.
And why I like him. People would be like, what is he actually trying to do here? But people know what I'm trying to do. They know it's unintentional. It's random.
It's midnight. It's a weird one, isn't it? That it started at midnight and it basically sold out.
It sold out. I think there's 100. I don't know how much the room holds. There's well over 150 people in there.
But how? Where are these people coming from? Who are these people that are going to a comedy club at midnight
well,
on Saturday?
Long may it continue, because I did another gig in Camden, and then I can. Who can't double up if the gig's at midnight? Even if you're an MC, you can double up.
You did a double up. You doubled up like a real comedian.
Double rubble, double bubble, my friend.
Did you? Where did you? Angel?
No, Camden. I did Camden Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
And then drove and got parked, Ash, in the West End, a 3-minute walk from the venue for free. I mean, whoop, whoop, never mind anything else. Let's just talk about that for the whole podcast. Just drove around and saw a spot. And it was like everywhere around there's permit holders only 24/7. But there are certain bays which are permit holders only like 8:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And obviously I was pulling up about 10:30, 11:30. I got there on Saturday. Someone pulled out. I'd done an excellent parallel parking manoeuvre. I mean, what the fuck? Tell me about that.
What was better, the gig or your ability to park?
Parking. This is one that will give me a good feeling for, I reckon, this parking spot. 6 weeks, I think.
See, we've now got reversing cameras and front sensor things on the new car.
Mm.
But I don't now take any credit from, because it's very difficult to park where I live, as you well know.
I do know.
I now take no credit from parking in a tight space. Like, I can't go wrong. I've got cameras that let me see how close I am to the car behind. I just can't take any credit from it anymore.
That's a bit. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Do you know what? This is how I feel about the internet.
What about knowledge?
Yeah, because I've got like loads and loads of random things that I know, and I know how to do things. Like you used to acquire knowledge, and when someone knew something, I'd say someone knew how to make something, or someone knew how to repair something, it kind of indicated they had a bit of a history. They'd been on like an island and had to build, I don't know, you know what I mean, a raft out of coconut shells.
Yeah, I got you.
But now people just look up on YouTube how to do everything. And so I get no credit for my sort of like lifetime of just doing stuff. Yeah, get no credit for it.
Well, you were just saying about that you've been spending today working on brakes on a bicycle.
Been reconstructing and fixing a BMX rear brake, and it's fucking...
Can you explain to the listener why?
My son is in a BMX gang, and in this gang...
Down the local wreck.
Down the local wreck at the local skate park. And in this gang, apparently now, it is very not cool, uncool, to have brakes... They stop.
That's mad.
Well, they stop by putting their foot on the back tyre. They stand on the top of their back wheel with their foot and brake. So I said, look, you want to get to the skate park with no brakes? I'm all for it, if that is the done thing. But to get to the skate park, you have to ride across roads. And I don't like it. You're not going out without a brake on your bike. You're not going out.
I absolutely, totally and utterly agree.
You're not going out without a brake. If you're coming down a hill and somewhere else, because you're not just going to stay at the skate park. You go somewhere else. You're coming down a slight hill. You see a car coming. You can't get your foot onto the back wheel quick enough. And then you've only got one...
Or you shove your foot between the spokes. You catapult yourself off.
And you've only got one foot on the pedal. I just said, no. So he goes, no, it's broken, it's broken. I'll have a look at it. He goes, no, it's broken. Like, sabotaged his brakes. So I got in my little...
Did it on purpose?
Well, I think he had. I think because the cable has snapped, but he doesn't use his brakes. So, So I go to Halfords, I mean, I could have gone elsewhere, but I went to Halfords. What? Don't judge me. I could have gone to a little boutique bike shop, sure. Supported the local hipsters. Didn't fucking want to. Went to Halfords. Got a proper chunky BMX brake cable. Thought maybe because it says BMX on the little packet, he'll be somehow that will placate him. Get back. He goes, oh, you can't fix it now because I've just taken dismantled the whole fucking system.
You can't fix it now.
No, he had an Allen key in his hand. The calipers were like either ends of the garden. Brake pads off the calipers. All taken to bits. The brake lever off, the lever out of the sort of housing of the lever. I was just like, you fucking cunt.
He said you can't fix it now, so he's fully sabotaged.
Yeah, he sabotaged it because he does. So I just thought, I said, come on, this is something we can do together. Father and son activity. Like when Bart and Homer made
the holidays.
Yeah, like when Bart and Homer made the go-kart. And turn around, he's fucked off. He's gone down, walked down the park and I'm on my own. I've been doing it for about 3 hours. It's doing my fucking nothing. And I did only, and then, so then now she's like, oh, let's record the podcast. Jesse, can you do the podcast? When are we doing the podcast? Can we do the podcast? And then I got up here, couldn't find any fucking headphones. Been running around up and down my stairs multiple times looking for headphones.
So, listener, that gives you a brief idea of how difficult it is to actually get Justin to do the weekly podcast he is now, you know, contractually obliged to do. He's funded by Patreon subscribers.
Am I?
What?
But I'm doing the podcast in my said son's PS4 gaming headphones. They're big.
I love the vision of that,
yeah,
honestly.
I'll have to send you a picture. I look like an absolute twat and only one ear works and you're very quiet in it because
maybe
when he loses
settings.
At this new game, which is a bit like Fortnite, he plays, you know the one I mean,
what's it called?
People will know, like in Fortnite when you get nearly killed you crawl around, you get, they call it,
yeah.
In this you turn into a chicken in that same, it's exactly the same but no building. I said to him, I think I prefer this one because the building in Fortnite put me off because it was very unrealistic.
I don't know. I've not even heard of this.
Oh, it's the new Fortnite.
It's the new Fortnite.
Exactly the same. You're on an island. The sort of like level, the size of the island shrinks. It's a battle royale. It's called like, it might be called battle royale. What's it called? Saint. Oh, well, fuck knows. Nerds out there will know what I mean. You turn into a chicken, basically. That gives it away.
Like a mad headless chicken when you...
When you're a chicken, yeah, you sort of like, you can run around and kind of jump and try and not get shot. Like you're more mobile than when you're knocked, as they call it in Fortnite. So when you're Fortnite, you're basically, you can crawl really slowly.
Do you think that the Fortnite people are aware of the fact that there'll be something that follows them soon enough?
Well, they did that themselves, didn't they? That wasn't the original. That was a rip-off of another game, wasn't it?
Yeah, PUBG or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but it's all Hunger Games, really, isn't it?
It's all Battle Royale.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the original film, wasn't it?
Yeah, Battle Royale was the Japanese version, right? Which then was remade as the Hunger Games.
I feel like you've only ever watched Battle Royale and not...
I haven't watched either, mate. It's one of them subtitles.
Don't know.
Fuck that! Yeah, one of them's Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where they go to a school and get them out of a school. I've seen that, actually. Shit. oh, my God. Should I have a little film review? I watched a film the other day, mate. First time in a long time.
No, you didn't.
I did, on the old Netflix.
What did you watch?
Oh, Ash, I watched... I can't remember what it was called. You'll have to forgive me. But it was a biopic about the early...
So not much of a review.
Yeah, it will be. It's a biopic of the early days of Morrissey. From the Smiths.
I mean, that is never going to be good, seeing as I've not heard of it.
I'd not heard of it, but I thought I'll watch it.
Because you love the Smiths.
And let me just say something.
Oh, yes, it's a biopic about the Smiths.
Let me tell you. When somebody wrote the script and handed it into someone and they read it...
They'd never heard any songs by the Smiths.
There's no songs by the Smiths in it.
Ah, brilliant.
Not only is there no songs by the Smiths in it, I would go as far as to say there's nothing in it. It is the most uneventful, like literally nothing. It's when they read the script, it would have been things like, yeah, Morrissey goes to the hospital and then he goes home again and has his dinner. And then honestly, it's the most uneventful Not one. The only thing what sort of stands out is he saw one of his old friends with cancer in the hospital. But then nothing happens. He just sees her and then leaves.
There's no. I wonder if that's a real thing that happened.
It's the most pointless exercise. Banal. Not just literally how it got greenlit to be made. I have no idea.
And it's on Netflix.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
There's hope for us, yeah, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some sort of art house films what are deliberately, like boring. Like I'd say Gummo's like that. Nothing really happens. No, Gummo's not. No, actually, Gummo's got a lot of sort of like consequential scenes, but no.
Gummo's about div kid, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say that. Two div kids, really. But that's kind of like that's got no through narrative. But this kind of just had not even standout scenes, not even little vignettes. And I'll tell you, spoiler alert, this is how it ends. He meets sort of like Johnny Marr earlier in the film.
Hi there, Johnny Marr. It's like, yeah. How's it going?
No, it is like that.
It's like, Morrissey's like, do you want to go and watch the Sex Pistols at the Exchange Free Hall or wherever that gig was? And in the queue, Johnny Marr's like, I was absolutely hammered when I watched it. So.
But Johnny Marr's like, I'll play guitar a bit, like, and then at the end, Morrissey's like in his house having spaghetti hoops on toast or whatever, and then there's a at the door, and then like through the sort of glass, it looks a bit like Johnny Marr, and Morrissey goes to answer the door and he sort of pauses, and then he reaches out to answer it, and it ends. I literally looked down at my phone, and my wife had turned the telly off, and I was like, "What are you doing?" She went, "That was the end." I missed it. I was like, "What the fuck?" I looked away for 10 seconds and missed the fucking culmination of this.
That's how it started. That's exactly how the Smiths started. He went to answer the door. Johnny Marr's silhouette
was
at the door.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But there was nothing what happened before it. It was, oh, fuck me. It was like a joke. It was like, you know those jokes that you used to tell, like children tell?
That and that really... means, well, that's a brilliant way of doing something where you don't have to pay any money for any rights. The thing is, the interesting thing about Morrissey isn't the 5 years leading up to him becoming a singer, songwriter.
Honestly,
Smiths,
he works in an office. He gets bollocked for being late. It's just stuff like that.
But that isn't like, I don't care about him before that.
Yes, exactly. It's like
it's not like he led this wild, crazy life that then obviously he was going to get into. Like, I'd maybe watch a Keith Moon biopic about before he joined The Who.
Yeah. Because
I imagine he was mad before he joined
The
Who.
And how did he become mad? How did he become this larger-than-life character? Morrissey isn't a larger-than-life character. Morrissey's an introverted man.
He's a smaller-than-life character.
Yeah, he's an introverted man that says, like, outrageous things
from
time to...
I'm an introverted man.
I'm a massive racist, you know.
Like, he just, like, says things like that.
I hate black people.
Like, but I don't know why he sounds
like... Is he racist now?
Yeah, oh, fuck me. You don't know that.
No, I know that meat is murder.
And black people are inferior.
He's like, he did a thing where he draped himself in the Union Jack and he did this NME interview. Like, this is a couple of decades ago, Ash. And was accused of being like jingoistic and xenophobic and racist, which he addressed.
Said that the Chinese were less than human, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's because he puts the importance of animals above humans, doesn't he? And he was talking about.
Well, he puts them on a level par.
I think. No, I don't think so. I think he's.
I put them on a level par.
No, I reckon that he puts animals in the league table above humans.
The hierarchy of animals.
And so he, yeah, which he addressed.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I think what someone should do is read out, like, sing Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech as Morrissey. But what he addressed it, he addressed it in You Are the Quarry, which is a good album, actually. A good album. And in English Blood, Irish Heart, he addresses it. To be standing by the flag, not feeling shame. Oh, no, I've been thinking of a time where to be English wasn't to be baneful. To be standing by the flag, not feeling shameful, racist or partial. I think that's the lyrics.
Well, there you go. That's Morrissey.
I do like him. I don't like him, but I do like the Smiths.
No.
And I like You Are the Quarry. That's about it. But
you're not the Quarrymen.
Yeah, you are the.
The Quarrymen were the Beatles, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Because I always get confused with the one from Spinal Tap. What were they called? The Thames Men. Was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, the Spinal Tap in Please. Spinal Tap, they show some old footage of when they was in like a 60s band. Give me some money.
I think I need to watch Spinal Tap again. I don't think I've got the knowledge I should have to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, so anyway, I watched that film about Morrissey. I mean, if you
watch the film on Netflix.
If you want to see how accurate my review is, I would urge people to try and watch it. And you watch it and you go, well, this is a slow starter, and then it ends. But I haven't got a short attention span. I don't like superhero movies, but this was taking the absolute fucking piss. Let's just leave it.
I watched a superhero movie last night.
I bet it was called Shazam.
No, I want to watch that, though.
Yeah. Dumbo.
I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
This is Spider-Man, the one that has... Oh, no. Spider-Man. I tell you, there's been a superhero flop, hasn't there? I saw it on my phone today. Hellboy reboot. 12 million in the opening weekend, apparently.
They're saying it might be one of the worst comic book films ever.
Well, I've seen the worst biopic ever.
I was really looking forward, because I like Hellboy.
Mm.
He reminds me of you in a way.
What, the big lobster claw?
He's cantankerous and...
Aye!
And yeah, he's got a big fist.
Mmm, aye, good combination if you're a sub. You, Ash... got told to shut up earlier by me.
Yeah, you did. You told me to shut up.
That's one of those things where I thought I'd say it as a joke, but I said it like, really said it. I got the tone
it
wrong.
It hurt my feelings.
No, come on, bruv, come on. Anyway, tell us about your fantastic gig, fam.
My fantastic gig, fam. Did I say I had a fantastic gig?
No, just trying to change the subject. I don't want you getting maudlin on
me. I tell you didn't have a good gig this week.
Oh, Cogs.
Incognito.
Poor old Cogs.
Real name, something else.
It was like Paul Berlusconi or something like that. It's like
Paul Berlusconi. He had a bad gig. He died on stage, literally and not metaphorically.
Yeah, at the gig that you do very often.
He did it at Rock the Attic in Bicester.
And a lot of people have said it's what he would have wanted, but I disagree. I think what he would have wanted was a defibrillator, if it was his heart.
He had one. He had one.
Oh.
Just to point out.
He would have wanted a defibrillator quicker.
No, that again. They got to him quickly. There was a paramedic in the audience.
What he would have wanted was about a decade of a high fiber diet and anaerobic exercise.
Yeah, maybe less booze.
Come on. You got to take that out.
You know what some of his last words were? Imagine if I died here in front of you cunts.
He must have known it was coming.
Well, he'd had a long-standing heart condition.
There you go.
He'd suffered with. And he had been ill before the show. They talked about him swapping places on the bill, going first then going home. And he said, no, I'm going to go on. And then he asked for a chair midway through his routine, his set, and then he sat down, stretched his arms out, died.
Why did he stretch his arms out? Was he like welcoming God back into his life?
I think he was having a heart attack, mate.
Do your arms stretch out? Well, how do you mean stretched out? Like Stretch Armstrong? Do they go like 12 foot long?
No, I think he stretched them out like...
Mr. Tickle.
Trying to stretch his tight chest.
Ah, like an invisible chest expert. I'm not making light of this, by the way. No. Or am I? I sort of sound... I kind of sound like I am, but I don't mean to. I liked him. He did Hate and Live once. I really did like him.
Yeah, he was liked by almost everyone. He was crazy. He was the proper alternative comedian,
wasn't he?
And he's a comedian that you might not have heard of, but I spoke about him on Saturday, and I said he's the kind of comedian that is your favourite comedian's favourite comedian.
Yeah, because he literally didn't GAF, did he?
He couldn't give a shit about anything. He couldn't give a shit about
money, fame, audience, being liked. I love it.
I like the fact that, you know, he often offered out the MC a gig, but meant it.
Well, when he did Hate and Live, I was the MC. Here's my cog story. And I sort of like roasted him a bit, had a go at him about something, just all in good jest. And he turned around and looked me up and down, like, but I've got to say, he thought better of it. But he almost was...
I think that is what he did. You know, it's quite a thing. I saw a post from Ben Norris who said his only regret really was that Ian Cognito never had offered to punch him in the head.
Yeah, I think he was going to offer me to punch him in the head, but I sort of looked at him like, I will punch you back. And he turned around and carried on.
What did he have to hate on? Do you remember?
I remember he did this long thing about duck rape because he lived on a boat.
Yeah.
And I think he had to say where he hated something. And he started going on about like how he watches these ducks like constantly raping each other.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
So according to him. But anyway, rip Ian Cognito, Cogs.
Not heard anyone say a bad thing about him other than things they said bad things about him and they went, but that's what made him so lovable.
Yeah, a bit like Malcolm Hardy, I guess, wasn't it?
Like, they were mates, apparently.
Yeah, well, they're like the old school, weren't they? But yeah,
I've always attributed an Ian Cognito story to Malcolm Hardy. I thought it was Malcolm Hardy that used to go on stage hammer and nail in the wall and then hang their coat up, but that apparently is Ian Cognito.
Yeah, that was Ian Cognito. I think Malcolm Hardy might have done that as well.
He was a bit of a magpie sometimes, wasn't he?
Old Malcolm Hardy. A magpie.
Did you ever gig with Malcolm Hardy?
No, fucking that old. He was dead when I started, wasn't he?
Was he?
Or around the same time.
There is a thing where a lot of people have a story about these people and you think, oh, did you gig with them? You can never be too sure, can you, of the truth?
No, yes, like the like I remember Ian Botham said. Remember when England did that massive comeback in the Ashes?
And lots of people say they
were there. He says, I think like this crowd wasn't huge because they were dead. It was like a Lazarus-type comeback, speaking of which, Tiger Woods. But then Ian Botham reckons that everyone he meets at like any sort of like function says, oh, I was there. And he said, like, it just doesn't add up.
They can't have
Everyone in London's related to the Crows. They can't all be related to the Crows. There must. You can't all have had trolls for West Ham. No, you weren't all in the SAS. Something doesn't add up here.
Tell me about Tiger Woods, because I was listening on the radio and they said he's knocked it about pretty well.
Yeah, he won the Masters after. It's probably the greatest comeback in sport. I mean, he was nowhere. And people said he wouldn't because not only...
But he won something recently, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think it was a major, though. Well, but the Masters at Augusta is a big one, very, very big one. And
he gets the green jersey, doesn't he, for this one?
Blazer jacket, yeah, not jersey. Fucking
hell. Green blazer jacket.
And who the fuck calls it a jersey, Nan?
They're cyclists.
Oh, yeah, no, they don't wear that shit, do they?
Don't know.
No. Well, anyway, it's like a fucking shitty bowls jacket, I guess. But he seemed happy enough to put it on. It's up to him, I suppose.
How many times has he won it?
La, 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 la. I think it's five, I think.
So how has he come back from being dead and buried?
Well, he came back from two catastrophic things. One was obviously the sex scandals, where he got outed that he was actually a bit of a naughty boy.
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it? Because he was like the cleanest of the clean. Yeah. But it turns out he was just slinging it about all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also...
Well, how did that affect... I still don't really understand how that affected his
it's
golf.
It's a mental game, isn't it, golf? But no, that was coupled with his back falling to pieces.
Because he'd been playing golf since he was 4 years old. 20,000 hours by the time he was seven.
And he had a very... as McIlroy will find out, these very, very athletic swings that don't... aren't conducive to a long career. Like, you've got your languid, your Seves, or even your Sergio Garcias, that are these sort of loose, relaxed swings, and you think, well, you're going to be able to do that until you're 50. But, like, these sort of McIlroy, these compact, athletic swings they have now, like Dustin Johnson and that, you sort of think, man, your body's... Like, they're almost like fast bowlers, and they hit so many balls a day. Like, I think they hit 1,000 balls.
Did he have his back fused or something?
Oh, yeah, he had loads of problems with it. And then he obviously had his addiction to, was it painkillers? And he's like caught drunk under the influence and stuff. He went off the rails, really. But I never liked him.
He's a train driver.
It's difficult to go off the rails, I think. I never liked him. I'm always that contrarian, like, hate Manchester United, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. I hate the fucking big guy, do you know what I mean? I want the underdog to win. But I guess
you're a bit like Morrissey, aren't you?
I am a little bit. Very fond of the dogs. But then when he was the underdog, I was kind of glad he won yesterday, but I don't really care. And isn't it a fun fact? I love golf, love playing golf. Can't really bear watching it. I find it boring as fuck.
Oh, that makes me like you a little bit more.
Oh, I can't watch it. but I like playing it. I'm a participant. It's the same as comedy. You don't watch comedy now, do we? You don't watch it?
No. I watch Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, of course. But I don't.
Actually, I watch Ricky Gervais as well. I watched his latest one.
All right.
Who else would you watch? Who would you watch? Give me a few people you watch. Not talking necessarily Cogs. About the big ones.
I would watch somebody who's awful. Yeah. I would go out of my way to watch what I deem to be bad comedian.
I watched James Acaster's ones on Netflix. Yeah. They were enjoyable. Yeah. They're a bit different, though.
Yeah, they are. They're Edinburgh shows, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a people think, well, but it's not just an hour stand-up. It's different.
No, there's normally a narrative.
Yeah, or just something a bit... Ash is recording in the Bronx.
Can you hear that?
No, I just thought... Yeah, well, of course I can. That'd be a random comment to make. I hate people that say, right, there's two words that people use wrong all the time. Probably spoke about literally. People say literally when they actually mean figuratively.
You want to kill them literally when they do.
I literally want to kill them. And people that say random. Like they'll go, Ash, random question. What time are we recording? I think that's actually pertinent. That is not literally.
Random.
See what I've done there? This is the correct literal use of the word literally. That is literally the polar opposite of what you mean.
Yeah.
Sort it out.
Okay, go on.
Just anyone listening to this, just literally stop doing that random shit that we hate. I hate. The world should. I think it's time for the world to just change to my dancing to
bend
my drum.
The knee to Justin Panks and his. His world view.
Upon your bended knee. You could just do Morrissey for everything.
I'm bending on my knee. That's what makes
it
worse.
Please kneel before me. I can't do... That's another thing, see? I'm going to have to put that on my little form.
Finding it difficult to do it without your ovula.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's affected my Morrissey impression.
And now I've lost my ovula. Yeah. That makes it even worse.
I would do Morrissey, but I haven't got an ovula. That was pretty quick. I can skip
that.
Hey, musical comedian. You ain't shit. I could do that.
I could do Morrissey. But I haven't got an ovula.
That's going to stick. Speaking of writing songs, what's this? Oh, dear, is this a new song I've been writing?
For Pranks and Firth?
Yeah, I'm writing a new theme song, mate.
My name is Justin Panks, and I haven't designed 3 T-shirts.
I have designed them, but I haven't sent them off to the printers.
You're doing a new theme song.
Yeah.
Brand new
There's
theme
wrong with
song.
The old one, I hope, but I just thought it might be fun.
No.
It might be fun.
Are we gonna have an album soon?
Yeah, I think we could sing along with Pranks and Firth.
Could we do an EP?
I don't think people do things like that anymore in the digital age, Ash. Why would you do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We could press some vinyls.
Let's press some vinyls.
Yeah.
What's your favourite application of vinyl? I'm going to say...
Flooring.
I'm going to say car roof. Remember that?
Yeah.
Why did they have...
Where it all just... Like, basically, the weather destroyed
Why
it
did they
years.
Make think it was a good... Was it to make it look like a convertible?
Yeah, like a patch on the roof, you mean?
I remember, like, Capri's. The whole roof was vinyl.
I was going to say a Capri, yeah. A Granada.
Granadas. Was it to make it... I've never thought about it. That was like... That's the equivalent of, like, stone cladding for a house. It's like, oh, look, it's a convertible, except the roof doesn't come down.
Why is that like a stone cladding on a house?
Because your house isn't actually made of stone. It's a facade.
Right.
It's an adornment to make it look that which it is not.
Yeah, it's a strange old view. And it just went bad, didn't it? I just remember it being... My views are in the hot summers in the 1980s. And the vinyl on a lot of cars just been split, cracked, grey...
Here's an
up.
Idea. Why don't we cover the most exposed to the elements part of this car with a material that isn't as weatherproof as Terrible. What the rest of it's made of?
Yeah.
Did you hear the Essex boy defend Stoneclad and then everyone? If I'd have said Mock Tudor, he would have spat his dummy right at.
Well, we had Mock Tudor briefly. I told you about this
you
before.
Have.
My dad went half-arsed.
Your dad dressed as Henry VIII.
Mock Tudor. Yeah, he did. And killed some of his wives.
But not all of them.
Not all of them. One of them still going.
I mean, he never gets the credit for the ones he didn't kill. This is the problem. This is the problem of these people. I mean, he had power to kill all of them, and he didn't kill all of them. He's actually a nice guy, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Percentage-wise, not great.
If he had eight wives, and one of them was still mooching about, you got to say he was a kind and just man. Why wouldn't you just kill all of them?
Divorce, beheaded, died.
What did she do to get beheaded? That's the thing, isn't it? Because you'd be thinking, like, if you was just... So, okay, you marry... I don't know nothing about it, obviously.
Is it Anne of Cleves?
Yeah, why not? So you're the fourth one, and you go...
How many can you name, and why
Anne
is it
Boleyn.
Important? Anne of Cleves.
That's it, Anne Boleyn. So anyway...
Anne Boleyn, Anne of Cleves. Catherine of Aragon.
I know you've probably got Google open, you fucking cheat.
No. I haven't.
Anyway, the point is, you're the fourth wife.
The listener wants to know.
No, you're the fourth wife. He's divorced two and cut two's heads off. And you know, you're sitting there like watching the jester and you'd be thinking, like trying to bring it up, like, so, what did the one do that you were beheaded at? What was the straw that broke the camel's back on that one, Henry?
Imagine the family. Like, she said, oh, I'm getting married. Imagine if they went, you know, he's killed two women.
Who two? Who are you marrying? The king? The current, this one? Okay.
Why can't you just be happy for me, Dad?
Now, my knowledge of the Tudor period and medieval kings and queens, everything like that, is based on Disney films I watched when I was about 9.
And Blackadder.
Nope, didn't really like that. So, am I right in thinking that he would just select a woman to marry him and there was no mutual attraction required?
I imagine.
So really, the ones that got beheaded fuck someone else.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, he's obviously, he's tried to get a super injunction out so no one found that out. It's a very embarrassing thing. But he probably woke up one day, his penis is weeping.
Are we still in that line? Like, is it still his ancestors?
Well, no, this
is
not the Windsors, isn't it? The Windsors, they were the Tudors, weren't they?
Yeah. So when did it change? This isn't the time and place, is it, to be doing this? I don't know the answer.
Who gives a fuck? But the point is, he woke up one day, he's on his third wife, he's got up to go for a piss, he's pulled his tights down, he's got...
She died. He come back and she was already dead.
He's got green cottage cheese coming out the end of his dinkle.
Because he's riddled with...
And he just opens the toilet window and he shouts down, "Sharpen the axe!" That was how I should imagine that one went.
His second one was beheaded. His third one just died.
Well, did she, Ash?
No, well, that's the thing.
I mean, you've got to say...
She's died, has she?
Yeah. What happened? I just came in and her head was on the floor.
Your Honour.
Her head fell off. I mean, if he was an execution, that would be a pretty sweet gig, wouldn't it? The Queen. That's a big one.
What, killing the Queen?
Beheading, like, the Queen, or the wife of the King, I guess, yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you're an executioner and that's your line of work, you're delighted. Have you beheaded anyone?
Yeah.
Any good?
You know, when a taxi driver had anyone... I had Tony Adams in the back of my cab the other... You know, it's like that, innit? It's like, guess who I beheaded the other day? All the executioners.
The Queen.
All having a glass of mead in their local hostelry.
I bet that the executioner probably got executed after executing the Queen.
This is what I'm thinking.
One of those things. You'd constantly be on edge. If you were the kind of person that was beheading people, Justin, and me and you were close, like we are, I would still be a bit apprehensive when I was around you, however friendly we were, that you'd just behead me.
Think how easy it must have been to get away.
You're like, oh, wasn't it great when I beheaded my wife? And I'd be like, yeah, it was great, my liege. And then you're like, what? You think it was great that the Queen was beheaded? No, I just thought it was great that that you got. Oh, right, so you want the Queen dead? Do you want the King dead as well? No. Right, off with his head. That's what it'd be like.
Why are humans obsessed with cutting each other's heads off? It's a constant thing for our history, isn't it?
Bizarre.
It's like I suppose it's a symbolic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to beheading someone's like...
And sticking it on a spike.
Yeah, all that shit. Ugh.
I don't
never really thought about it.
No, I wish I hadn't started now.
I remember
well.
I watched one of those ISIS ones. Ugh. You can't.
Why did you watch it?
I can't remember. I remember. So,
don't watch
it's
that
like
stuff.
When I went dogging, I kind of didn't believe it. I knew it was real, but it's like, I don't know, morbid curiosity, but I didn't enjoy it, which made me feel good that I didn't.
Yeah, but then.
I don't mean, don't, you know, I wasn't aroused, but I mean, I was like, ugh, and it upset me for like a month, which is, I think, is the correct response, and I'm glad I had that. But I'm glad I didn't like it, because I might have liked it, but I didn't.
Just learn from that and don't watch
it again. No, I've never watched.
This is about the third time you've said to me you watched something you didn't like. It was awful.
Yeah, but you got
to
experience,
you've
got to try it,
and I'm like, no, it's awful.
Oh, that might have been, that could have become a new hobby. You've got to try these things. Try anything. You've got to try it. Imagine if that was your hobby. Put it on your CV. I don't think you get many jobs, would you?
I enjoy socialising, reading. On my CV once, I had like, enjoy reading, socialising with friends, blah, blah, blah. And in the interview, the guy went, okay, you enjoy reading. What books you read? I was like, what?
All of them?
Like, you said on here you like reading.
So I see here, Chris, you're into ornithology, reading, socialising with friends, and ISIS beheading videos. You're like, yep. Just whip your phone out. Have you seen this one?
I thought it was best that I was honest in my interview. Like, if you had to go for a job now, what would it say on your CV? I enjoy sitting around.
I would say laundry. Seriously. Laundry, gardening, lawn care, laundry, lawn care, and other things that have got the word lawn in them.
Lorna, your mistress.
Lorna. I'm going to do another one. You think there ain't one? What? You want me to say it now? Because I've got it. I've got it. Yeah, I'm going to say. You just say when.
Now.
When.
Right now. Say it now.
What? Forlornly. Watching ISIS beheading videos. What a wordsmith.
You've really mastered it, haven't you?
Cracked it. Well, I'm going to have to go shortly, I'm afraid. I'm sorry to be rude.
I've got to go anyway, mate.
Oh, no, this is that thing where I'm in the schoolyard. I come to chuck you and you chuck me first. Come on, bro.
I've got to write a 45-minute clean set by September.
What's that? You want me to write you a 45-minute clean set? This is what I hear when you say things like that.
Yeah.
I'll help you out.
Okay, thanks.
When?
Tomorrow. But you need to sort out those T-shirts first, and then we can do it.
Okie dokie.
That's as good as done. Justin.
Ash.
Get me some patronage from these people. How can they do it?
Go to patreon.com/pranksandfirth. Leave us a recurring little direct debit. Keep the funny, it's not that funny, whatever this is, keep it going, keep us talking to each other, give me incentive to write this new song, get these T-shirts made, hug my children.
I tell you what, if you're a $1 a month patron, you can have the theme song a week early. How about that?
Yeah,
we'll stick it up there.
I'll tell you what, if you don't, what's the most they can do?
Well, there is no max.
Well, if you surprise us with a nice big juicy figure for at least 3 months, I will write you a song. How about that?
What?
And I will do it because I'm very conscientious and a doer.
Okay, so how? Right. Well, this is dropped. So if you're a patron, how much are they paying to get you to write them a song?
I will know it when I see it. Surprise me.
I don't think it works like
that. Well, try a different way, Ash. Why are you so rigid and why are you so beholden to the man?
Because I want the system to be able to work. What's the price of a song?
How long is a piece of rope?
I mean, chance your arm, listener. Go to Patreon, make a donation and say, I'd like a song.
I heard about this restaurant where you could pay what you want and the proprietor said... Actually, everyone pays more than we would have. So that's what I'm trying to do here.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's how it works. But anyway...
Go to Patreon.
And if you don't want to go to Patreon, Ash, they could probably go somewhere else, couldn't they?
They go to Ko-fi, yeah, and do a massive donation there. Increments of £3. It is www.ko-fi.com/pranks. Is that right?
Yes.
You'll find us. Go follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. We don't look at the Facebook ever. When was the last time you looked at the Facebook?
I don't even go on Facebook. I have stepped back from society.
Social meds.
I have gone. I'm a recluse. I'm
off grid.
I'm a recluse now. I think I'm borderline reclusive.
That's good news. Well, I'll speak to you again next week. Well done on getting this up on a Monday.
Thank you.
Assuming that you actually send me your end of this file.
I'll do it now.
So we can
do I'll do it now. I've got to go to...
Thank you for listening, listener. We massively appreciate it. Please tell your friends. Share this. More than anything, we need listeners. We love doing it, but if you're not bothered to listen, we will stop.
That's a bit fucking stern. We won't. You can't be the class clown and the prefect, Ash.
Yeah, no, we're not going to stop. We're always going to do this because I just need to check in with Justin every week that he's okay.
Yeah, I think you need to check in maybe a bit more than you have been.
Okay, fair play.
I'm not good.
Thanks, listener. See you later, Justin.
Bye-bye.